Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hello, everybody. Faye Davis here. Another episode today of the America's Jobs Team podcast, which again is brought to you by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. This episode, we have Tom Kucharski joining Carla. And Tom is the president and CEO at Invest Buffalo Niagara, but he is also the incoming chairperson for the IEDC board of directors. And Tom and Carla have a really fascinating conversation. And Tom really talks candidly about the challenges that are looming in the future and why economic developers are needed now more than ever, and how the need for folks dedicated to growing communities will really only increase as time goes on. Tom also shares why having a supportive spouse who challenges him to do what's right and what's relevant has been really instrumental in his career. And honestly, over the entire interview, Tom just really injects you with a highly needed dose of positivity and a reminder of how important the economic development profession is. So here we go. Let's shift over to Carla and Tom.
Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I am pumped about today's episode because, listen, y'all, we have Tom Kucharski here with us, who's the CEO and president of Invest Buffalo Niagara. And before I even let Tom talk, I just have to say that I had a chance to visit Buffalo in the last about 18 months, I think it's been. Man, that city captured my heart. And much to my husband's dismay, I was rooting for the Buffalo Bills. We don't have a lot to root for here in Michigan because our Lions are just not very good. However, when the Bills were almost there, I was cheering because I know what that means for the city. And I fell in love with your city. So I can't wait to check in with you and to see how things are going. But Tom, just thank you so much for giving us the time to interview you today. I'm excited to throw a bunch of questions your way. So are you ready?
I am. Thanks for the opportunity and fire away.
Okay. So first and foremost, I just have to check in and see how you and the team are doing, how the city of Buffalo is doing, and what you all have up your sleeve for 2021.
Well, so at the beginning of the pandemic, we made national news that New York and Western New York in particular was really hard hit. And so we have spent, we were kind of pivoting like a lot of regional EDOs prior to the pandemic, and just, you know, the race for place and the battle for workforce and talent and a lot of those things that are changing the complexion of economic development. But then we really had to get into gear and work with all of our partners to save a lot of our businesses. We're not a lot of people may know this on the webcast, but between Niagara Falls and all of the cultural assets and sports teams and fishing and all the things that comprise our region, we're in the top 10 as far as tourism markets, and that sector was just cream. Hospitality and the like. So, and we had been doing a really good job of the whole entrepreneurial now gotten very sticky. And so we've helped a lot of our existing employers. What is the surprising thing of this whole pandemic is that we are as busy from a pipeline standpoint of new investment as we were about 5 years ago. And so there's a lot of pent up demand. We're a border city. We have a significant amount of investment from our friends in Southern Ontario and the Greater Toronto area, and even as far as Quebec. And that's just waiting to come and visit and invest. And so some of it is caretaking and being light on our feet. And the other half is preparing for whenever it is that we get back to some type of normal business transaction. So
that's awesome. And it's good to know that your pipeline, it was one of the questions that I had for you, was just kind of your forecast on the pipeline. But it sounds like you all are seeing a lot of opportunity, and there's opportunity to land, especially as people potentially look to onshore into the U.S. Right. For you all. So you talked a little bit about, you know, where you all were at pre-pandemic. And I feel like 2020 was not only a year of a pandemic, but we also had a lot of political divisiveness and we had a lot of social unrest. And it just felt like a year of a lot. And I'm curious to hear from you how you've kind of navigated that in your own personal leadership and maybe some of the challenges that you've faced this last year and how you've navigated those in your own career.
So separating the answer into two different parts, locally, the issue of racial and social equity has been right below the surface in Western New York and in Buffalo in particular for a very long time. And maybe a lot of the viewers don't know this, but we were a very important part of the Underground Railroad. We were very important in the early days of the NAACP and the founding of the Urban League. But we have had significant challenges in that area. Over the last several years, we have reclaimed a lot of the landmarks and started an African-American heritage corridor. And so we are already trying to have those really difficult discussions. We've had a racial and social equity roundtable in the region for about 3 years now. So it was we had our share of discord and riot, and City Hall was invaded, and all of those things that unfortunately happened throughout the country. But certainly raised the issue. I was fortunate to be part of the search for our new Buffalo Urban League president. Our president retired after about 25 years. So that was a good chance to kind of build some bridges and get some fresh input. On the IEDC side, we formed a standing committee of IEDC to address this issue. It is by far the most active and biggest membership. We have close to 80 folks from around North America that are, and actually parts of Europe that are part of this. So our biggest challenge after we've gone through a lot of the discussion and mourning and getting to the point where we're now putting together a business plan, what I hope to accomplish this year in my term is to move the business plan forward so that we have metrics. We're measuring things, we're trying things, we're trying to get serious efforts in working with financial institutions and the like to get more resources to people of color to understand the issues better and translate them into federal policy. Now there's a new administration and they really have this as a top priority for them, and be able to pass it off next year where we're building on success rather than building the business plan. And so we hope to do that by the middle of the year, and you'll hear more about that.
That's awesome. And it's really exciting to get that update, not only on what's happening in Buffalo, but also what's happening with IEDC. And I think it's great that there's a group of committed leaders that are willing to discuss economic development's role in what's happening in the world of race and equity. I think that's awesome. And I can't wait to hear updates on that. You kind of referenced a little bit about just changes in leadership. And I feel like this year was one of those years that, you know, some people have called it like there was just a lot of political shenanigans. But regardless of what side of the aisle you lie on or what you're doing, I feel like economic development in some places gets kind of like caught in the middle of some of what's going on with elected officials. And that's hard for economic developers to sometimes navigate and to have the energy to navigate. I know you have had a really successful career, which means that you've been able to navigate turbulent times before. So any advice that you might have, especially for economic developers who are just kind of struggling right now with maybe they've lost faith in the political system, or maybe they just kind of feel burnt out by the political system. Any words of advice that you might have for them?
Yeah, and I certainly understand it because I went through a great deal of that, the yin and yang of attracting investment and yet trying to further your regional goals of social equity and raising people out of poverty and creating wealth, but making sure that the wealth is is distributed in a better way than we have. And I'm reminded, actually, you know, a lot of economic developers don't maybe not have this benefit, but they have a supportive spouse. I have a wife who's head of Feedmore Western New York, which is the combination of the food bank and Meals on Wheels. And so when I think I have difficult issues, all I do is volunteer or work at the warehouse or deliver meals. And I realize how important our job is as economic developers and how we have to, we can't get tired, we can't get discouraged, because there's always somebody less fortunate than you that has maybe had the events of the last year thrust upon them, something they never anticipated. Well, we're the folks that help bring it back. And so I'm always encouraged by that. We got a great team of mix of generations and talents on our team and our partners. When somebody's down, we pick each other up and create perspective. You know, we've gone through tremendous challenges as a country, and we'll get through this one, and it'll be better on the other side. And I think the big thing that I've found, and we do have, you know, in some places, the chamber advocacy politics are mixed in with economic development, which, you know, it may be good or bad. We have the benefit of having that separate from what we do. So we do the small piece stuff. And I found the best thing throughout my career is to be honest, be respectful, understand the context of which you're advancing an initiative or making an opinion, but be honest. Then you never have to recall what you said or why you said it. And especially now, when I think honesty is going to help frame policy and initiatives going forward, if we can express our opinion going forward from today and be respectful of each other, I think it goes a long way. And now everybody wants economic development and everybody wants their leader to be empathetic, but to be aggressive. And you got to kind of find a balance to execute that.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think just the reminder of how important this work is, especially as we kind of come out of this, I don't even know if we really call it a recession. It's really the pandemic, because some industries it's helped, in some industries it's really hurt. But I think as we come out of that, just being mindful of the fact that there's a lot of people that need us to help recover, like need us to help bring it back. And that's really important work. And that honesty and transparency is so important. And that's what I think most people are looking for right now.
Yep.
I realized as you were talking that I referenced the fact that you have a lot of experience, but I dove right in and didn't really give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your journey and how you ended up in economic development. So here I am. I introduced you as the CEO of Invest Niagara or Buffalo Niagara. Talk about the fact that you're the IEDC chair, and I didn't even ask you how you got into this. So I want everybody to know your backstory. So let's take us back.
So, you know, when you get old, I mean, when you're asking this question, I'm thinking about that Seinfeld episode where George goes, "The sea was angry that day, my friend." Sounds like this, you know, long dialogue. But mine was really by happens. Just by circumstance and happenstance. I played two sports when you could in college, and I played hockey and football at the University of Buffalo and got my business degree. But at the time, the unemployment rate here was very high. We were suffering, like a lot of Northeast and Midwest cities, a loss of legacy industries and that kind of thing. So I had the opportunity to go on and get my MBA, which I did. And then the Department of Commerce, U.S. Department of Commerce, was recruiting on campus. Took a job with Commerce, then was detailed out to the Bureau of Census, and actually had a role in creating a lot of the series for that are measurements of economic development, non-residential construction, that kind of thing. Got quite frankly tired of the commute and the expense. That was just my preference, and went and joined my buddy from college, my best friend down in Fort Myers, Florida. And they were trying to navigate going from a two traffic light city to one of the fastest growing places in the country. And so I got a job as the planning director down there. And at the same time, they said, you know, we really should have a better coordination of what our regional assets are. And we're going to have a university, and we're going to have a state. We have all these people moving here, and they created an economic development organization, and they asked me to head it up. So from there, I was recruited to go to the Lehigh Valley, which is a spot that's an hour west of Manhattan and an hour north of Philly. That was a collection of kind of parochial behaving communities, Reading, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, but they're all right there. And so started the initiative there, was there for 8 years. And then about that time, my hometown was putting something together, was contacted about that opportunity. And my dad had just passed away suddenly at a young age. And so I figured it was a great chance to move back and be with mom. And since that time, since the last 20 years, the community's come back. My sisters have moved back. A lot of my extended family members have moved back. And so it was a circuitous way to get there, but it allowed me to be, I was grateful to be parts of tourism economies, industrial reuse economies here where we have a bit of everything. And it was a lot of good training along the way in dealing with different personalities and different mores and that kind of thing. And so I didn't plan on getting into economic development, but here I am.
That's awesome. Well, it's always fascinating to me to hear people's, you know, kind of the different ways that they get into this business and how they circle back. And I'm glad for you that despite the circumstances that kind of brought you home, that you were able to go home and do some amazing things in Buffalo. Okay. Again, I just think it was really, really a cool place. Now I like cold weather, and I know not everybody feels that same way, but I thought Buffalo was a pretty hot place in a cool climate. So I want to end with a question, because I feel like there are several of you in the business that we really all are looking to and saying, like, you've done this, you have so much experience, you're still so passionate and full of energy and enthusiasm about the profession. And I'm just curious for you, what excites you about the profession of economic development right now? And what is kind of your hope for the profession over the course of this next decade?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that obviously fits in with what we've tried to integrate into the strategic plan for IEDC. If you're an economic developer now, this is not time for the meek of heart. I mean, I would say we all have a role. In fact, you know, you could argue that we don't have enough resources to address the issues that are going to face us in the future. The Internet of Things, remote working, racial and social equity, and the things that are going to be thrown at us. But we're well trained and we're on the front lines. We experience things that it's hard to explain to our board members or our constituency. But, you know, whether it's difficult in the political environment you're operating in or just flat out challenging from trying to bring partners together and act in a way that, you know, will be focused on what the future will bring, you know, our communities rely on us. And we should take heart in that and try and absorb as much of the information that is coming out to be prepared for when we start to get back to some normalcy, because it won't be normal. It will be very disruptive. And those communities and economic developers that can be light on their feet, adapt to change, and have the information drawn from really good data that can be presented to their public sector and their private sector locally, will allow them to go out and pivot and transition to more talent attraction, placemaking, remote workspaces that will combine with residential opportunities. And whether, you know, you have a bad day or a good day, your community relies on you, and you've got to hang in there and help be a leader.
Yeah. And I just have to say, as you were talking about that, I know it is challenging, but it's also really, really exciting to be in the seats, to be able to do that work and play that role in the community. And I know Consult and Connect is up for the challenge. So if there's anything that we can do to help IEDC as you really try to carry that message forward to the economic development community and the site selection community, please know that we're an ally and we want to help. So just keep us in touch with anything that we can do as you kind of are planning for the future. So Tom, thank you so much for your time. You're just a gem in this industry, and I'm so grateful to have met you and seen your city in person. and then also to have you on the podcast.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.